Hi, I'm Pastor Sandy Shear. Thank you so much for joining us for the Guts Church podcast. This week, we have the privilege to hear from Pastor Bill. The message was produced with you in mind, and we would love to hear your story of how God is showing himself faithful in your life. Share your story by emailing story@gutschurch.com.
How many of you guys are here today and you need a miracle in your life? Can I see your hands? You're just here and you need a miracle. And really, honestly, I do. And really, I've got a message of the Lord. I've got a word of the Lord for you, if you will, that this is a time of refreshing. You're coming into a time of refreshing in your life. And we have a role to play in activating that refreshing. In Acts the third chapter in the 16th verse, it talks about us having to repent and ask for forgiveness. And then times of refreshing of the Lord will, seasons of refreshing of the Lord will come into our lives. So repent is such a big word for Christians, for people. See, you're thinking, man, those sinners out there need to repent. You know, and then you're thinking about that, maybe that long ago, thank the God above, long ago TV preacher that had pointed that camera and say, repent, you filthy sinners, and or whatever it was. And it's for us. It's for the family of God. It's for the church that it's. We have to live a life where we're continually changing our minds and changing our lives and following after the heart of God. And I believe that today I want to just lead you down just a short path to help you find the heart of God in your life, because in that place, listen, are times of refreshing, and then that place becomes a place of miracles. And I believe that's what church is. I believe that's what church is designed. This is not designed for you just to attend and call this your church. I love it that you attend. I love it that you call it your church. But this is a place where you experience miracles. Man, there's a dynamic here, whether we like it or not. And you'll think, well, there's nothing special about the location. I completely disagree. There's people that will say, man, it's not about the building. Again, I disagree. Okay, there are enough Sundays that we get together and it's pouring and I'm thanking God for a building. Anybody with me? And so a couple people, because we're going to melt. I'm so sweet. But like sugar, aren't I, Sandy? Sandy, that's her pet name for me a lot of time. She just calls me Sugar sometimes. But then she got a dog named Sugar, and RIP Sugar. Don't you think, Sandy? We took Sugar to a vet and like the last week of her life. Remember that, Sandy? We took her to a vet. The vet said, man, she's fine. She just needs to lose some weight. She had like a fist-sized tumor. I don't know what they're teaching these vets some places, but he missed that one. I don't know where that came from. I think I crossed the line. Sandy's covering her face. But when we're in the place we're supposed to be, and let me tell you about the priorities of church, of who we are. There's four simple priorities. The place is number four. It's pretty high on the list. It's number four. It's the property, because the property houses the programs. And we've got incredible programs in this church to help disciple people. But the programs now train the people and disciple the people that man will think, man, it's all about the people. Well, yeah, it's not just all about the people, because we disciple the people to live God's purpose. See, the ultimate, man, the bullseye on the target. That's the target that I just gave you. The target is, man, the property is a big deal, because it houses the programs that equip the people to live God's purpose. See, and that's what we're talking about here, that I think that what we can do is we could get to those concentric circles on the target and get to God's purpose. But we can't be sloppy about it. We can't mix our signals. We can't have things in our head. We can't make the heart of God an ethereal thing that sometimes you find it and sometimes you don't. See, we serve a yes God, and it's always yes to his promise. But in John, the 14th chapter, it's an amazing chapter in God's word. But, you know, they're going through it, and Jesus said, listen, I go to prepare a place. You know this. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I didn't have a place for you, I would tell you. See, this is a group of people. That's where Thomas said, what are you talking about? We don't know where you're going. And then Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man gets to the Father. Everybody say to the Father. No man gets to the Father except through me. And now we could find God. We could find God's heart. Man, it's the God that we speak of, it's actually the heart of a Father that we find. Man, and there's we're all over the map. The scale is from A to Z on how people in this room or watching on the internet or in our church at SkyTech, how you were fathered. Man, the daddy issues here are probably tons of them, but now Jesus said, look, you know the place that I'm taking negative. Man, we don't know. And it's interesting because this is a group of men. Like you think about Peter and his brothers that, man, Simon Bar-Jonah he's fishing. And Jesus walked up, came up to him and said, listen, man, and they were acquainted with one another. And he said, listen, man, let's go. He's like, okay, where do you want to go? He said, look, just follow me. And so Peter let down his nets and began to follow Jesus. And it's like, where are you going? I don't know. Wherever he goes is where I'm going. To the point where the Bible says that he didn't have a mailing address. Jesus had no place to lay his head, is what the Bible says. He didn't have a home. So you think, man, what did he do? Where did he sleep? Where did he eat? Where did he rest? And there were times where, man, he'd go on the mountainside just to rest, just to get away. But then there were other times he's on the path. He'd just stop at a house. This is it's so amazing to me. Here the Savior of mankind, of the universe, man, he stops at a house and he said, listen, if they allow you in, knock on the door. If they allow you in, go in there and sup with them. Go in there and rest for a while. He said, if they don't, kick the dust from your feet and just move on. Man, don't let that be your excuse. Don't let that be a part of your reasoning. But see, we make so many excuses about this that, man, we don't have enough money because the world says 2 + 2 = 4. And then we take that mentality into the kingdom. And we say, okay, 2 + 2 = 4, and 4 is not enough. We need 8. So it seems like we're continually crying out to God, saying, look, the math just doesn't work. And that's where Jesus said, look, we don't do the math like the Gentiles do it. We don't do the math like the people outside of the covenant do it. The way we do the math is you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all these things will be added unto you. You're never going to be without. See, we want to have control of our lives. And let me just tell you, any bit of trouble or anything I've had in my life where things didn't work out, it's because I wanted to control it. I wanted to have control of it. I wanted to fix the problem. I wanted to be Mr. Fix-It. And you know what? Man, God's just saying, look, would you relax? Man, that time of refreshing comes when I change my mind. And I tell you, I'm saying, God, you have good things for me. Good and not evil to give me a future and a hope. How many of you guys are believing God for a miracle? Because this is a place for miracles. Man, Paul said, whether I abase or abound, I'm content. Philippians, the 4th chapter, he said, I'm content. You don't get it. Whether I've got a lot or I've got very little, I'm content. Why? I know God is able, and I know how to receive. I trust him. And he said, look, I'm content. And then it gets to verse 13 where he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. See, it's unreasonable. See, we get to a place where it's like, God, it's unreasonable for you to think that I could do this. Because some of you guys, I don't know the world some people live in. I don't know what color the sky is in some people's world that'll say, God won't give you more than you can handle. And you know what? It sounds reasonable. It's just not in the Word. It's not. It's. Let me just tell you about my cup. I don't know about your cup. My cup runs over. It's more than I could fathom. Who God is in my life, I can't find the edges of it. I can't see how high it is. I can't see the breadth of it. I can't see the depth of it. It's too much. It's like, oh my gosh, okay, God, I can't find the limits on this, so I'm just trusting you. Listen, and here's the awkward part. God, I'm trusting you in this limitless life. See, that's what God wants to give the widow woman that she just had enough to make a cake for she and her son, and then she said, then we're just gonna go and die. We got nothing else. And the man of God said, look, make me a cake first, and then you go start bringing containers. And as long as she had just enough oil to make just enough for she and her son. And the man of God said, no, 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 no. You put this first. You make one for me first. And this is a type of Jesus for us in our life. That's what the Old Testament is. It's a type and shadow of what was to come. And then the Gospels are a bridge to get us to the new and better covenant that started with the book of Acts. And now we live in this new or better covenant where God's promise is literal. It's yes and it's amen. See, so as long as they had jars and as long as they had pots and as long as they had containers, that oil kept flowing. And she's going to neighbors' houses. She and her son are running. And they're saying, man, give me all your pots. Give me all your pots. And they're thinking, man, you're a crazy woman. If your husband was still alive, you would never be doing what you're doing. And she got as many pots and as many containers as she could. And you know what? That oil kept flowing and that oil kept flowing and that oil kept flowing until they stopped bringing pots. When they ran out of containers, the oil stopped. How many times has that happened in your life? How many times has God just provided and you're on this? And for me, I'll just tell you, the first year and a half I was a Christian, it's like being at the airport and you got your luggage and stuff and you come up to one of those conveyor belts and it's a moving sidewalk. And you walk on the left side and you stand on the right side. Well, that's what the life of God is like. Is God's just going to take you where he wants you to go. But you know what? You've got to submit yourself to him. You got to say, God, I'm giving you control, even though it's super awkward. Because we'll say things like, well, you know what? I've got faith for health, but I just don't have faith for finances. Or I'm going through something right now. You know what I'm doing? I'm going through something. Man, Sandy and I have some issues, and we're going to have to correct some things. So, God, I'm going to need you to take a back seat. God, I don't want you at the end of the line. God, I just want you. You're just not going to be able to be number one in my life for a little while. I got to take care of some things. Man, this is my woman. This is my wife. We're one, God. We got to take care of these issues. Are my kids? My kids are going through stuff. You know, oh, my gosh. You know, Taylor, I got to help him through this stuff. Man, there's so much stuff. And God, I got to work it. Extra shift. I'm not going to be able, God, you know that commitment that I made? It kind of felt like a vow I kind of made to you where I was going to serve. I can't really do it because I got to pick up an extra shift. I got to make sure that I can keep the money flowing. But see, we start compartmentalizing our flesh and we compartmentalize who God is in our lives. And we kind of act like we're teenagers and mom and dad leave for the weekend. You know, at the best, we're not going to make our bed, and we're not going to put our dishes up, and we're going to watch TV all hours of the night, and we're just going to put our feet up. I'm going to sit in my dad's chair, and I'll let the dog out. Maybe I won't. Or it could be I'm going to call a couple friends, and it turns into a throwdown at the house, and the cops come, and there's sanctions, and that's how we live our lives a lot of times. It's like, look. The cat's away. You know, God, it's not that big a deal. It's just a few of my friends. What, Dad? Dad, I know I probably shouldn't have had my friends over. It was just a few friends. It's not that big a deal. I don't think anyone even died. Well, we live our lives because we can compartment. It doesn't make me a bad kid. You know what else is what's funny, too, is it's not my son. It's his friends, the people he's hanging out with. He's hanging out with the wrong people. And I've even had parents that come to me and say, I can't tell my kid who to hang out with. I'm like, who told you that? You absolutely tell your kid who to hang out with, 100%. And I'm not saying that you put a leash on your kid like those people at the grocery store. They got a leash on their kid. I'm thinking, you got a kennel at home for him to live in too? Is he lapping water out of a bowl on the floor? It's like, that doesn't make sense. You don't want your kid acting like a dog. How about you train your kid up? How about a little of that? That was a sidebar that just slipped out. But I got to get back on track. Because this is important. This is a time of refreshing, a place for miracles. Man, Jesus, we don't know where you're going. He goes, man, let me just tell you. Let me lay it out for you, Thomas. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. You get to God through me. I'll tell you where we're going. We're going to God. We're going to God's heart. We're going to take as many people as we can with us. You know what we're going to do? We're going to disengage people's track to hell and hell on this earth. Man, I'll tell you, if you're a Christian and you're in this room and you're going to heaven, this is all the hell that you're ever going to experiences on earth. But you know something? If you're going to hell and you're not a Christian, this is as much a heaven as you're going to get on this earth. See, this is that kind of that way station, that place that that we get to. And it's like, wait a second, in these times when we're going through things, when I make a shift in my life, when I take my flesh and say, no, flesh, I'm not letting Jesus take second place. I'm not making him get in the back seat of my life. I'm going to let him take the driver's seat of my life. I'm going to follow after him. I'm going to obey him. I'm going to submit my life to him. And no matter. And let me tell you what happens. What happens, your life goes from being a train wreck to you being blessed. And the blessings of God come without measure. He's not doling out little blessings. The Bible says he's pouring them on you. The Bible says his blessings come upon you and overtake you. There are situations in my life, there's conversations that I have, there's experiences I have in the world that it's uncomfortable how blessed we are. It truly is. It's uncomfortable where I want to make excuses about how blessed we are. And you know what? I don't want to do that anymore. I'm telling you, God has called us to be the blessed. He calls us blessed. That's what how he has named us, is blessed. But Jesus said, look, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. You get to God by coming with me. I'm going to get you in. See, that's why it's awkward when we just say, look, man, the name of Jesus, man, at that name we're saved, we're healed, we're delivered, we're set free, where God fills us up. But you know what? But it becomes a little, I gotta keep control. So I need to have a lid for my pot. And as soon as there's a lid, or as soon as you don't provide space in that pot, the oil stops. And see, that's how we have to look at our lives. See, and let me just tell you the three simple steps. The three simple steps for your place, that place that Jesus, he said, listen, I go to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house, you know what he said? There's many mansions. Man, I'm telling you, there's not. You get your pick. Man, God gives you control by you submitting your life to him and giving him control. And see, we have our lives. And let me just tell you the simple formula. You seek, you ask, and you knock. But listen, it's all predicated upon faith. It all works on trust. Okay? Now pay attention for a minute. You seek, here's where it starts. You have to go to God's promise. You have to go to God's word. You have to search God's word. You're here and you need a miracle in your body. Can I see your hands? Man, I could tell you, I could give you scripture upon scripture upon scripture, and I believe I would be convincing that God's the healer. All the time, no matter what, no matter who, no matter when. He's the healer. That's all he does. That's what he does. Okay? But let me just tell you, that's not the formula. The formula is you seeking, you going to God's word. You finding 2 Peter 2:24, you finding the place in the word where it says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You'll never have to beg. Man, you're not going to be in no ways you'll ever be cast out. So now you're thinking, okay, I've got a chance. And then it goes to, I sent my word to heal you and to deliver you of your destructions. See, so now it's like, wait a second, I've sought him and I've found him. But the Bible doesn't just say seek and it's done. It says, seek and keep seeking. That becomes the ritual and the mantra and the religion of your life. Religiously just seeking God. Just say, not due to performance, not just because of knowledge, but by you seeking God. Listen, it brings you to a place now where you can ask. And asking, listen, isn't saying, God, would you please heal me? God, I know you got a lot going on. I know there's things going on in Africa and India and China and Europe. God, in the Middle East, man, there's so much. I know that, man, Central America, man, God, you got to, but I know it's not that big a deal. No, that's not the asking part. The asking is, as you're seeking, are you listening? As you're seeking, you're asking, God, show me. Because here's what the Holy Spirit's going to do. The Holy Spirit's going to lead and guide you in all truth. The Holy Spirit's going to remind you of everything Jesus said and show you things you didn't know. So now you get into a posture in your life where you're just seeking God. You're seeking God in His Word. And as you're seeking God in His Word, now it's like, God, I thank you that you lead me in paths of righteousness. God, lead me to your promise of healing. God, lead me in your promise to deliverance. God, lead me in your promise. Let me tell you what changed my life. What changed my life is I'm seeking God. And a pastor said, you're a new creation in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And it settled in my heart. Changed everything about my heart. Then a week later, I'm at church. I'm going out in the parking lot. And I see these three young people, weird Christian people, church people. They got like plaid on. So I walk out. Their hair's all up. Boys and girls. And so I walk out. And I'm like, hi, I'm Bill. They said, yeah, we know. How you doing? I said, they said, we're just looking at the Word. I said, oh, really? What are you looking at? And this guy said, I'm just showing him that God will always provide an avenue of escape. I said, an avenue of escape from what? He said, from temptation. I'm like, what? Wait a minute. Because that's all I had to deal with then. I'm telling you, I was the spotless lamb. Jesus washed me clean. I was like pure, my heart was pure as a driven snow, but I had to deal with temptation. All life was now was a big temptation because that's all I knew. And he comes to me and he said, God will provide an avenue of escape no matter what kind of temptation that comes before your life. I'm like, how do you know that? Because it's right here in the Word. I'm like, tell me. He said, you have a Bible? And I said, yeah. I went to my vehicle. I got my Bible. He said, listen, he said, here, you got to mark this. I said, what do you mean mark it? He said, circle it. Dog-ear the page where you can find this. And he said, you go and you just read around that scripture and you read that scripture and you get it in you. It's like, wow, those two verses are revolutionary in my life still to this day. But you know what? It just kept building and kept building and it kept building and it kept building. Man, I met Dick Mills and he said, man, I've memorized 7,700 promises from God's Word and I can quote them. I'm like, oh my gosh. And you know what? He looked me in the eye and he said, let me tell you, you can have that too. I said, how? He said, all you got to do is be around me. This is how this works. You seek, you ask. And then when you've asked and you find, now you knock. You found that door. What is Jesus? He's the door for the sheep. He allows us to come in. He allows us to go out. So now we seek God, we ask, and now we knock. You know what knocking is? Man, I found the promise. What are you doing? I'm getting this door open. I'm putting a demand on that promise. I'm going to live in the land of milk and honey. And you'll say, well, you're demanding God. No, I'm not. I'm putting a demand on what He's promised. And you know what it is? It's like you pull out a $10 bill. You know what that $10 bill says? Legal tender. That means if you go to buy something, they in the United States of America, they have to accept that note. Kim, what do they call those notes? Demand notes. You're putting a demand on that amount of money so somebody can't say, no, we don't accept cash here. No, this is America. This says legal tender. You by the Constitution, you have to. This is how it's set up. Well, the kingdom's the same way. They took that from the kingdom. The kingdom now, you've got it stored in your heart, and you can profess it with your mouth, and you believe it with everything in you. And see, it gets to a point where you'll say, well, Shear, do you really believe this? And you know what my response is? Yes, I know it. See, that's where you have to get. You go from seeking to asking to knocking to what? To knowing. Man, I know this is a time of refreshing. I know this is a place of miracles. I'm telling you, there's miracles here for you. And you know what? What you got to do is you got to take off that insecure lid that you've had on your life and let just God pour out a blessing that you're unable to contain. The way God does anything is the way God does everything. And you know what God wants to do? You look at the repercussions of the tithe. You look at the repercussions of seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Man, you know what He does? He pours out a blessing that makes things awkward. We are so blessed. We're so blessed. God's will for your life is to be blessed coming in and blessed going out. and blessed in the city and blessed in the field, that in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. You're not rolling dice. This isn't the casino of God. It's the casa of God. It's the house of God. Man, you seek, you ask, you knock, and you know. Man, Jesus, in Matthew, the 16th chapter, he's talking. He said, man, all this talk going around out there, who do they say that I am? What do you guys hear? It's interesting because those guys are going, well, they think you're John the Baptist. And he's thinking, I'm much better looking than John was. You kidding me? Look at his beard, man. The dude ate locusts, man. I got it going on. And he's saying, okay, who else? He said, though, they say you're Jeremiah. They say you're Isaiah. They say you're some other prophet. And he turns to Simon. And this is a big key. And then I'm going to let you guys go. You can't leave yet. He turns to Simon Bar-Jonah. He said, Simon, who do you say that I am? He said, I believe you're the Son of the living God. You're the Messiah. And you have the words of eternal life. He said, you answer rightly. You answer correctly. He said, and now I call you Peter. Listen, he changed his name. He changed his identity. In that change, and I'm telling you, seasons of refreshing hit Peter's life. So much so that the Catholic Church is based upon Peter being the first pope. Man, it was such a dramatic, it was such an incredible experience that Peter had. Just by what? By being in that place with Jesus. He's the guy that said, look, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. He's like, what's he talking about? I don't know, but I'm going with him. Where are you going? I don't know. Wherever he goes, I'm going. He said, upon this rock, I'll build my church. He didn't call him Simon Bar-Jonah anymore. He called him Peter. Man, Saul of Tarsus. He's on the road to Damascus. Man, a brilliant light hits him. He goes down. He's on the road. And he's looking up and he's saying, stop. What? He said, why do you persecute me? Who are you? I'm Jesus Christ. He's like, yeah, I have been. Just tell me. He said, why do you kick against the goads? Man, you know the right way to go. When are you going to take it again? And here's where you start. Some of you men in here, you've got to give up control. You know what Saul of Tarsus said? Saul of Tarsus said, just tell me what to do. I don't know what to do. You just tell me what to do. And you know what? Jesus took him to the backside of the desert. The next thing you know, he comes out and takes the lead in the whole world, in the church. And his lead caused the whole known world to be evangelized in just a short period of time. See, we look at this. We need that name change, that identity change. Man, I've got to find myself in God's word. I'm going to seek. I'm going to ask. I'm going to knock. And I'm going to know. I'm not leaving. I'm not leaving this place till I know that I know that I know that God's heart is about my life. See, that's the key. It's not just our attendance. It's not us going, we can go through the motions. We get so good at it. I don't want to go through the motions. I get 52 Sundays a year. I cherish every one of them. It's got to be more than just convincing. Because you know what? The next wave that hits your life, the next attack, the Bible says the enemy comes immediately to steal the seed that's been sown in your heart. So you know what a lot of churches? Just reseeding. Just reseeding. God's able. God's willing. Just got to receive. It's by faith. Man, how do I believe that God's truly the healer? No matter what, no matter when, no matter who. Because I know. See, I've gone from just a hopeful belief to now I know, and I've entered into a place of faith. A faith, a place of trust, a place, listen, for miracles. Do you need a miracle today? I'm telling you, it's here, it's yours. Whatever it is. I'll close with this. The Bible says, no good thing will God withhold for those who walk uprightly. No good thing will God withhold from those who simply put him first. He's either first in your life or he's not in your life. He's either Lord of all or not at all. And see, that's how we have to look at it. That's the fight of faith. You ask me to sum up the fight of faith in one statement, It's putting and keeping God first in your life. That's the fight of faith. Some trust in chariots and some in horses and some in the dollars that they got in their pocket, the investments they've made, the position they're in, but we'll remember the name of the Lord our God. I'm never going to forget the name of Jesus, the name above all names, the names that where every knee has to bow and every tongue confess, the name that is greater than everything that's ever been named. Man, you could get a diagnosis and they're not sure what it is. A little bit of anxiety comes and wants to take up residency with you, wants to hang with you. And once they, let me just tell you, once they go, oh, here's what it is. It's cancer. It's lung cancer. It's pancreatic cancer. It's brain cancer. It's blood cancer. It's diabetes. It's as soon as they put a name on it, you win. You hear me? It's either he's either the name above all names or he's not. And you know what I believe and I hope and I believe and I trust and I know? That his name is above all names. You with me on that?
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more information about this message and others, please visit gutschurch.com.